Well, it doesn't work that way. You addressed social issues in book two of Conversations with God, and it was lambasted by many for being too political. Marianne Williamson wrote an absolutely wonderful book called Healing the Soul of America, and has preached about social spirituality from her pulpit at the Church of Today near Detroit. And she was lambasted by some people within her own congregation for being too political.
They said the same thing about Jesus. Too political, they said. When he was just teaching spirituality, he was safe. But now he's suggesting that people actually apply the spiritual truths they've learned. Now he's becoming dangerous. We've got to stop him.
Yet, if there's no better way, what is the point of spiritual activism? What is the point of politics or of anything? Why should I get involved if it's all just a toss-up? If it doesn't matter one way or the other, how am I to be inspired to participate?
Out of your desire to make a statement of who you are. It may be a toss-up whether you comb your hair this way or that, yet notice that you've been combing it the same way for years. Why do you not comb it another way? Could it be because that is not who you are? Why do you buy the car that you buy, wear the clothes that you wear? Everything you do makes a statement, produces an expression of who you are. Every act is an act of self-definition. Does this matter? Is defining the self a thing that matters to you? Of course it is. It is the very reason you came here. Who you are is not a toss-up. Who you are is the most important decision you will ever make. The point of the new gospel is not that who you are doesn't matter, but just the opposite. Who you are matters so much that each of you is utterly magnificent. The new teaching is that each of you is so magnificent that not one of you is more magnificent than the other. Not in the eyes of God, and not in your eyes either, if you look with the eyes of God. Because it is impossible for you to better someone? Does that take away your reason for living? Because you can't have a better religion or a better political party or a better economic system, does that mean you should not have any at all? Must you know that yours will be the better picture before you pick up a brush and paint? Can it not be simply another picture? Another expression of beauty? Must a rose be better than an iris in order to justify its existence? I tell you this. You are all flowers in the garden of the gods. Shall we turn the garden under because one is no more beautiful than another? You have done exactly that. And then you lament, where have all the flowers gone?
You are all notes in the celestial symphony. Shall we decline to play the music because one note is no more crucial than another?
But what if one note is a sour note? Does the sour note not spoil the symphony?
That depends on who is doing the listening.
I don't understand.
Have you ever heard children sing and experience the song as beautiful, even though half the notes are off key?
Yes, yes, I've had that experience, exactly.
And do you imagine that you are capable of an experience of which I am not?
Well, I never thought of it that way.
And tell me this. If a child is singing off key, do you tell her to shut up? Is that how you imagine you will encourage her to love music or to love herself? Or do you inspire her to even greater heights by telling her to keep singing?
Of course.
I have been listening to your songs for centuries. Your singing is music to my ears. Yet do you imagine that none of you has ever sung off key?
Well, I'm sure that one or two of us have.
Here, then, is your answer.
You are my children. I listen to you sing, and I call it beautiful.
There are no sour notes when you sing. There's only you, my child, singing your heart out.
You are God's orchestra. It is through you that God orchestrates life itself. There are no sour notes when you play. There is only you.
My child, playing your heart out, trying to get it right. If I failed to see the beauty of that, I would have no soul at all.
Remember this always. The soul is that which beholds beauty, even when the mind denies it.
Oh, that's an extraordinary teaching. Oh, my gosh, what a wonderful insight.
Therefore, in life, Always see with your soul. Listen with your soul. Even now, concerning the words you're hearing, hear them with your soul. Hear them in your soul. Only then can you begin to understand them. It is your soul which hears the beauty and the wonder and the truth of my words. Your mind will deny it forever. It is as I've told you, to understand God, you must be out of your mind. Do not stop the symphony in which you are playing because you think you hear a sour note. Simply change your tune. Effective political activism does not come from anger or hatred, and spiritual activism never does, but rather from love. It is not a question of making someone or something wrong. It is simply a decision to exchange the present reality for a new one, out of a new thought about who you are and who you choose to be.
Yes, this is what I've called the New Thought Movement. Yet I still must ask my question. I guess I'm still in my mind about this, but does this we are all one new gospel mean we may not harm a thing? May not swat a mosquito, may not trap a mouse, may not pick a weed, much less a flower. Does it mean that we may not lead a lamb to slaughter for those delicious tender chops?
Is it okay to cut off your hair?
Is it okay to cut out your heart?
Is there any difference?
You're not answering my question. Why will you not make your will known to me? Just tell me your will, and it all becomes very simple for me.
I have no will separate from your own on this or any other matter. I have no preference other than yours. This is what so many of you cannot understand. This is what so many of you cannot abide. For if I have no separate will or preference, what should you do? How can you know what is right and what is wrong in this or any other manner? And now I've gone even further. Now I've even taken away your idea of better. So now what are you to do? What now is the basis of any choice or decision? I tell you, the purpose of life is for you to decide and declare, express and fulfill who you really are. It is not for me to tell you what is right and wrong, what is better or worse, what to do and what not to do, and for you then to simply decide whether or not to obey me, and for me then to reward or punish. You've tried this system, and it does not work. You've announced over and over again what you think my will to be, but this has not helped you. You have not obeyed it. Behold, you have declared that I am against killing, yet you continue to kill. And some of you even do it in my name. You have said I am against mistreatment and suppression of people, and of any classes, races, or genders, yet you continue to allow it. You have said that I am against the dishonoring of your parents, abuse of your children, ill-treatment of your very selves, yet you continue to commit it. You've said that I'm against all manner of things that you continue to do. You've not managed to change your behaviors, no matter what you claim that I prefer or command. You've said that I'm against lying, yet you lie all the time. You've said that I'm against stealing, yet you steal right and left. You've said that I'm against adultery, yet you take each other's husbands and wives every day and every night. Even your governments, those institutions you have created to protect you and care for your needs, lie to you. Indeed, you have created an entire society based on lies. You call some of these lies secrets, yet they are lies nonetheless, for a withholding is a lie, plain and simple. It is a failure to reveal the whole truth, to let others know all that there is to know on a subject so that everyone can make choices based on all the data. You have said that I am against the breaking of promises and pledges, yet you break your promises and pledges all the time, and you seek to do so with impunity, using whatever rationale allows you to justify yourself in the moment. No, the human race has demonstrated quite clearly that my will, as you have understood and enunciated it, means nothing. The interesting thing is that in the end, this is perfect. Because there are so many disagreements over what my will is, you would probably do even more killing in my name if you suddenly became fervent in your beliefs.
I'm reminded of that bumper sticker, God save me from your people.
Yes, there is some irony in that. And so, to your question, is it okay to swat a mosquito, trap a mouse, pull a weed, slaughter a lamb and eat it? That is for you to decide. All is for you to decide. And there are larger questions, of course. Is it okay to kill a person as punishment for killing? Abort a birth? Beat a homosexual? Be a homosexual. Have sex before marriage. Have sex at all if you want to be enlightened. And on and on and on.
Each day you must make your decisions. Know only that in deciding, you are announcing and demonstrating who you are.
Every act is an act of self-definition.
You're getting it. You're understanding.
Well, because you're repeating it so much.
Repetition is good. It allows integration. So now I will repeat something else I have said before. In your daily actions and choices, you are not only announcing who you are, you are also deciding who I am. Because you and I are one. Thus, in the larger sense, I am answering the question. I am doing it through you. And that is the only way the question can be answered. Out of your answer will come your truth. This is the truth of your being. It is what you are being in truth. Remember that you are a human being. What you are being is up to you. Although I've told this to you now many times, this is something you may not have previously seriously considered.
Okay, but oneness does not mean equality, right? Can I at least get that out of you?
Oneness does not mean sameness. That is correct.
Well, then what does oneness mean?
The question is not, what does oneness mean? The question is, what does oneness mean to you? This is a decision that must be made within each human heart. And out of your decision, will you create your future or end it? Yet even as you ponder this, there is guidance, there is insight, there is wisdom that has been given to you to help you, not to do what is right, because right is a relative term, but to get to where you say you want to go, to do what you say you want to do. As I've noted before, as a human race, as a species, you say that you want to live together in peace and harmony. You want to create a better life for your children. You want to be happy. If on nothing else, on this, all of you can agree. And so this guidance has been given you, and it comes in the form of 3 points. These are, again, 1, we are all one. 2, there's enough. And 3, there's nothing we have to do. The first point, which we've been discussing at length here, may be more readily and easily applied when the second and third are understood.
And I want to keep looking at the application of this wisdom, at how to make it practical in everyday life. So let's get to those other points. At the end of the Conversations with God trilogy, you made those same 3 points.
Yes, and if you understand the second point, there's enough. You will have given yourself a big clue on how you may apply the first point. We are all one, if you choose.
What does there's enough mean?
Exactly what it says. There's enough. There's enough of everything you think you need to be happy. There's enough time. There's enough money. There's enough food. There's enough love. All you have to do is share it. I've given you plenty. There's enough for all of you. When you live this truth, when you make it a functional part of your reality, there is nothing you are unwilling to share, nothing you seek to hoard, certainly not love or food or money.
Does that mean we ought not to gather wealth?
There's a difference between choosing to have something and choosing to hoard it. In fact, only when you know the truth that there's enough can you easily have any of the good things in life that you yourself would choose.
That's true. It was only when I finally got that there is enough for everybody, that I could give myself permission to believe that there was enough for me. Still, I had to go on faith, because it doesn't look like there's enough for everybody.
Judge not by appearances. The reason it does not look as though there is enough for everybody is that so many people who have more than enough are sharing only the smallest part of what they have with those who have less. A tiny percentage of your world's people holds a massive share of your world's wealth and uses a colossal share of your world's resources. These holdings are wildly disproportionate, and the disproportion is growing larger, not smaller, every day.